Let's jump right into it. As you can tell, PowerPoint and the projector are not getting along today. But we're here to talk about building hybrid apps using PhoneGap and Kendo UI. And this is a short little session. We've got a little bit less than an hour, and we've got a lot to get through. So we'll jump right into it, and we'll use this sort of goofy PowerPoint mode to make it work. There's an asterisk on PhoneGap, and I'll explain more as we go through. But when we talk about PhoneGap, we're really saying Apache Cordova, the open source project. But everybody knows it as PhoneGap. Mostly anyway, so I may call it both today, but I'm really always referring to Apache Cordova or the open source project that underlies PhoneGap. My name is Todd Anglin. If I've not met you before, I'm Vice President for Technology and Developer Relations at a company called Telerik. And in this intimate little room we've got here, how many of you are familiar with Telerik? Basically 100%, a few hands that haven't. If you've not heard of Telerik, we make everything you need to be a better, faster developer. UI tools, productivity tools, and for today's talk, critically, things to help you with mobility as well. So check it out, and you can have some fun with Telerik's tools. Here's what we will cover today in our time together. We'll start by reviewing our various mobile approaches. How can you build a mobile app? What are your options, and where does hybrid fit in that set of options? We'll then take a little bit of a closer look at how hybrid apps actually work. What is the magic that makes a hybrid app come to life? What differentiates it from just building for the web? And then we'll just do a step-by-step. Building a mobile app, I'll show you what it takes to get started, to start debugging, designing, and then we'll talk a little bit about what it would take to deploy the app that we build today. We won't go deep, but it'll be a very surface-level app we build, given our time, but it should give you the knowledge you need to go be successful starting to build your own apps when we're done. So when we talk about mobile apps and the options you have, you really have a continuum of choices. You can build for the web where you have maximum reach. The fastest way to get to the largest number of people is still via the web. Or you can build natively for every target platform where you have maximum access to underlying horsepower and APIs within each native device. So along this continuum, you can make a choice about what is more important to you, reaching the maximum number of people or accessing the maximum number of capabilities. Hybrid as an option does give you a middle ground in making this decision. It allows you to reuse the skills and even the code you may already have building for the web, while still gaining access to native device features and capabilities that you can't get via just the traditional raw web APIs. So it lets you get a middle ground position on this spectrum of choices, and it gives you a great option if you are already a web developer who wants to build mobile apps. And you note here I've crossed out the word mobile because really these are options you have for building any app today, whether it's for the desktop or for a mobile device. You can choose to build a hybrid app for Windows or for Mac. And there are many apps out there today that are actually just this. They're hybrid apps running on the desktop. Before we push past our options, I will also highlight that there is another sort of stopping point on the continuum for what you might call cross-platform native apps. And this is another form of hybrid apps where they are distinctly different and where they don't really fit in the hybrid definition is a native hybrid app, if you will, does not render to a web view. And I'll explain how hybrid apps work a little bit more in a minute. But when we're talking about frameworks like NativeScript, which hopefully you've checked out, if not, come to the hackathon tonight, NativeScript, Xamarin, React Native, these are all frameworks that are helping you build cross-platform apps, but they're rendering truly native UI. So a little bit more of a learning curve if you're a web developer, because you have to learn more of the native platform nuances, but it still lets you get to multiple platforms with a one-ish code base. So the concern often is, well, if I build a hybrid app, won't that somehow be poor quality? Won't my users hate it? Isn't that why I should avoid hybrid and do some other option in the first place? And I would challenge you to go look at the apps that you use or apps that are out there in the app stores and really see if you can even tell what is or what isn't a hybrid app if it's done well. So an example here, this is an app called Snow Buddy. Hybrid or native? Snow Buddy. What do you think? Hybrid. Correct. It is a hybrid application, and it's a 4.5-star reviewed application in the iOS and the Google Play Store. So not only does it look good, it's reviewed really well by its users. This is an app called Procrastinator or something like that. Hybrid or native? Native. This is a native app, so it does not matter. You can build ugly native apps or simple native apps. It's not ugly, it's just simple. Or you can build complex and beautiful hybrid apps. One or two more. This is Swerkit, a workout app. Very rich, lots of media, guides you through various exercises. 5-star review, which is pretty rare for all the apps if you browse the app stores. Hybrid native. Hybrid. This is a very, very popular hybrid application. And one more, this is simple. This is Math IQ. This is just a calculator. You can see this emulates or projects the Google Material Design look and feel in this app. This is also a hybrid app on the Google Play Store, 4-star reviewed. And last, and I don't think I'll get my animation build here because of our slide fiasco, but even Instagram, parts of Instagram are also hybrid, or they're web-based. And while we're going to be talking today more about how you build an entire app in a hybrid container, when you look at apps out there today, even the infamous Facebook app, which dumped a lot of ill will on hybrid app development, even parts of that app use web views, use web containers to accelerate the rate at which they can deliver new features to users. So there are a lot of different ways you can do hybrid. We'll be looking at the 100% path, but even popular apps like Instagram have web-based or hybrid components. So what is hybrid really? What makes up a hybrid app? We've talked about it a bit here, and I'm starting to give you some sense that there are different flavors of it. At the end of the day, a hybrid app lives inside of a native app shell, a native shell created with platform-specific code. So created with Objective-C or Swift for iOS, with Java for Android. That shell hosts the application that you ultimately create using web skills, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So your code lives inside or executes inside of that native shell. That's how you get access to the device capabilities that you need. When an user opens your app and loads it up, what they don't see is that they're essentially loading a full screen, which you might think of as a browser rendering window. There's no buttons, there's no back button. It's just a canvas that represents the browser, and that's where your code executes. But it's the same kind of thing you'd be doing if you're creating code for the web. The way you get access to native capabilities are via shims or via plugins that are exposed to you via that native shell. So some developer or framework creator has gone and written native code, exposed APIs from a native device to JavaScript, and then your JavaScript can call those APIs and it passes the message back and forth from native code to your JavaScript. You never have to write native code unless you want to create a plugin to expose some new capability. So that's really the DNA of a hybrid app. And what's key when we define hybrid for today, again, is that we're talking about a 100% web view. So all the UI your users see is HTML and CSS, and all the code that's executing the app is JavaScript. Make sense? Room's giant, so I'm going to assume that you're all nodding violently yes. And as I mentioned, it's not just mobile devices. Hybrid apps now can be in a lot of different places. This is Windows, I think, 8 or Windows 10, and there's actually a Apache Cordova, so PhoneGap wrapper, to create hybrid apps for Windows. So you can use the same set of technology to do this for Windows. And again, that code can now port across all the platforms where you need it to run. And Electron, the shell underneath the now very popular Atom editor, or the brackets editor, very similar but a little bit different, they're essentially hybrid apps. The UI of Electron and Atom is a web view. It's rendering using HTML and CSS, and then a lot of JavaScript behind the covers, in this case Node, but nonetheless the language and skill set is the same. So once you learn how to do hybrid app development well, it's not just going to get you on phones, it can be used to get you on the desktop and even make more efficient, maintainable apps for that platform. There are a number of different hybrid containers out there that you can leverage when you set out to build your app. By far the most popular is Apache Cordova or PhoneGap. Adobe owns the trademark, but the technology is open source. That's the most popular, and that is one of the approaches that uses a full 100% web view to render your app. Famous is another option. It's not really a container, but it is a framework which gives you a way of building high-performance web view-based applications, and you can actually use Famous in conjunction with Apache Cordova if you want their rich animation framework, if that's what you're doing. And there are slightly alternate approaches to hybrid, like AppGyver. AppGyver combines a web view for most of your apps while substituting parts of the UI with actual native UI elements, like the navigation buttons or the header. So you can kind of combine a little bit of native with a big chunk of web view, and that's another way of approaching hybrid app development. The cross-platform native frameworks that we all know, and I mentioned some before, like NativeScript and Xamarin, those are technically not hybrid because of the UI, but they do get you cross-platform. So they fit in the conversation as a way of getting to multiple devices with one code base, but they fall outside the definition of hybrid we're using today. Pros and cons, a long list for your study. There are clearly a lot of pros for picking hybrid app development, not the least of which is reusing the code and skills you already have. But there are some cons as well you should be familiar with. The most commonly referred to problem with hybrid are problems with the rendering in that UI, web UI layer. Usually if you're trying to do some fancy animations or you're trying to make something move really fast with no jitters, you can get in some trouble if you don't do things intelligently in your hybrid app. So you've got to be a little bit careful there. With PhoneGap, at least, you're also dealing with an opt-in platform to get access to native APIs. That means you need a plugin for every native API you want to access. There are a lot of plugins out there, that's the good thing, but if you need some feature and there's not a plugin, you may have to go or find someone who can create some native code to access that plugin for you. And hybrid apps do require an install. Once a hybrid app's been built, for all intents and purposes, it's just like a native app as far as deploying it and installing it on a device. And this is a con when you compare it to something like the web. The web can do a lot of what hybrid can do, but it doesn't require an install, so it can go everywhere and anywhere where an internet connection exists. So you have to decide what's most important. Does my app need to be installed? Do I need to access native device capabilities? And if so, then hybrid is going to be superior to web. To address that first con, just a little sub-tip, and then we'll look at some actual code here. You can really overcome a lot of those typical performance concerns that have been leveled against hybrid in the past by simply upgrading the web view, the rendering space where your code runs. In iOS 8 Plus, you can use the new WK web view as a replacement for the long standard UI web view, which was made available to hybrid developers on iOS. And WK web view uses a better, faster JavaScript engine and a more capable web view layer than what UI web view allowed. On Android, you can actually embed in your app package your own version of the Chrome browser, the Chromium rendering engine. The advantage here, and the project that you use to do that, something called Crosswalk, and the advantage is you can guarantee on any Android device where your app is installed that you know exactly what web view your app is going to run on. You're not going to leave it to chance that the user has Chrome installed and is going to give you that superior Chrome-based performance on Android. So Crosswalk is another way you can improve your web view performance on Android. It does obviously increase the size of your app package a bit, so that's a consideration you have to think about, but it is a way of ensuring more consistent performance. And lastly, before we look at the code, what does hybrid not do? Hybrid does not eliminate the need for a Mac to build for iOS. It's not magic in that way. You still need a Mac and Xcode if you want to compile an app for iOS, unless you use a build service, which we'll talk a bit about in the course of today's code. It doesn't eliminate the need to create native packages for every platform you want to ship to. That means you need to do a build for Android. You need to do a build for iOS. You need to do a build for Windows. For each target platform where you want to deploy your code base, you will need to do a build and publish step for those platforms. It's not a build once, deploy everywhere. Doesn't let you avoid the App Store. Once you have your app package, you're held to the same rules as native apps. Got to go through the review process. Got to get published out there. Talked about not giving you the 100% access to native APIs, and it doesn't build your app for you. there's still a lot of things you need to know to be a successful mobile app developer. We'll touch on some of them today, but there are pitfalls common to every mobile app project that you will still face and you'll have to learn if you want to be successful building mobile apps even with hybrid technology. When should you use hybrid? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then you should probably choose hybrid over web. So I'm assuming that your decision-making framework starts with, I'm a pretty good web developer. I can get my code out to everybody via the web. Do I need an app? Do I need to take that next step down the continuum towards building an app and using hybrid? So if it needs to be installed, if you want it to be in the App Store, if that's a yes, then definitely move past web and onto hybrid. If you're a web developer and you have those skills, it's a great reason to use hybrid over even going towards something like one of those cross-platform native frameworks, a little higher learning curve there. Do you want to have cross-platform code portability? Do you work in a bring-your-own-device environment? Do you want to write your code once and have it reach iOS, Android, maybe Windows Phone as well? Then that's a good reason to go hybrid. And if you expect to have a lot of complex, if you do not expect to have a lot of complex UI or animation or movement, then there's really no reason not to pick hybrid. If you're building a rich game, you need 60 frames per second, maybe hybrid isn't the stopping point for you, but if that's not you, there's a lot of other good reasons to choose hybrid app development. Curious, just before we go to the code here, how many people in here are using Windows Phone? Oh, there's an user. There's the Windows Phone user. So if you want to build an app that supports him, then you can also do that. Otherwise, we'll generally be only building for iOS and Android. In our demo today, we will be looking at how we do this for iOS and Android. But the concepts do traverse if you do end up wanting to build a version of your app to support the Windows Phone user, all one of them. So getting started with building a hybrid app, we don't have our build animations here, so I apologize that these images overlap a little awkwardly. Looks a little bit like this. First, you're gonna need the Cordova tooling on your machine. So I'm gonna assume you have a command line or a terminal, fire that up, and we're gonna grab it from the Node Package Manager from NPM, NPM install -g for global Cordova. And that's gonna install all the tools we need to begin working with and building hybrid apps using the raw Cordova APIs. And then after that, a few steps, we can get our basic Hello World app up and going. Cordova creates and give our project a name like Hello World. That's going to give us our basic project structure. Cordova platform, we have to add which build targets we want to support with our app. So for instance, platform add iOS. And then finally, Cordova emulate will fire up an emulator so we can see what our Hello World app looks like. And if we've done our job correctly, it should look a little bit like this. So let's start building our app here a little bit raw. And I will zoom in so you can easily see that. So I already have Cordova installed, and I can check to see what version I've got just to make sure I'm running the latest and greatest. So I have Cordova 5.3.3 installed. You should have something similar on your machine. And so if we want to do what we said we need to do, Cordova create is going to be our first command, but I'm going to actually show you. If I just type Cordova and hit enter, I get a full list of all the commands available to me via the Cordova command line tools. So if I expand this out a little bit so you can see it, we see that there's not a lot in the Cordova CLI, but there's some helpful things we need. Create, we can get some info about our project, an ability to manage plugins in our project, of course, compile our code. So here's the instructions, here's what we get. We're gonna use the create command first. So Cordova create, and we'll call this Vegas app. Cordova, that's not an API, but it should be. We'll try this again, Cordova. So it's quick step, creates our project, and if we inspect what's inside this project, we'll navigate to that directory, Vegas. It's created a few folders for us, a folder called hooks, a folder called platforms, a folder called plugins, and a folder called www. The www folder is where all of your code will live. That's where your HTML, your JavaScript, all that's gonna be in that one folder. The platforms folder is where Cordova will install all of the necessary support files to target whatever platforms it is you choose to support. So you won't really have to mess with that folder very often. Plugins, naturally, is where the plugin code you download and install will go, so you, once again, probably won't have to mess with that folder too often. And the hooks folder is only if you need to do something that hooks into the build process when your app is being built. So unless you're doing some advanced things, you won't need to mess much with that either. So the www folder is going to be your most important folder that's generated. And if we expand that folder just to look at what they've given us by default, here's the Hello World files, a directory for our CSS, a directory for our JavaScript, and then the main index file, which we'll be working with. So if we wanted to go run this right now, and we said Cordova emulate to fire it off to an emulator, we need to provide a platform, so let's say iOS. It's going to tell us that there are no platforms added to this project. We need to add at least one platform for our project to get going, and we'll go ahead and add both iOS and Android in a single step. We'll say Cordova platform add, and then just we can list out our platforms. Oh, actually, let me show you something first. Before I tell it what to add, I'm just going to hit enter on Cordova platform. And what this tells me is what platforms have I already installed and which are available for me to install on this computer. So you can see that Windows is not on this list of platforms because I cannot build Cordova apps on a Mac, obviously for Windows. But I can build for OS X and iOS, which would not be available to you if you're on a Windows PC. So it will depend on your build environment, which is why build services like Telerik's platform or Apache PhoneGap, or rather a PhoneGap build, they can help you overcome that problem by building for you, but that is a limit you will face. So we have some options here. As you can see, PhoneGap, Apache Cordova supports a lot of different platforms, not just the big major mobile platforms. We're gonna say Cordova platform add iOS and Android. You can just list out which platforms you want, and now it's gonna go grab all the necessary support files and install those into our platforms directory for us. So if we go back over and look at our folder structure, it has now put some extra stuff in platforms, a folder for Android, a folder for iOS, and in here we can find a bunch of other supporting files, including our Xcode project that Cordova is going to use to build our app when it does come time to build our app package. But these are files that we don't really have to touch or manage as we get started building our hybrid app. So we can just know that they're there and then move on. So now that we have our platforms added, we should be able to run this. So I can say Cordova emulate. If I don't specify a platform, it's going to try to emulate on all target platforms that I have configured. So in this case, for Android and for iOS. Right now, all the text flying by is Cordova attempting to build my native app packages for Android and for iOS. So it's firing off the Android build tools, it's firing off the Xcode build tools, and then it's launching my simulators or my emulators. The iOS emulator, obviously, you have if you have Xcode installed. If you're on Windows, you obviously don't have this, but there are some other tools available to you. I will zoom this way out since we're on tiny resolution here. So it's an iPhone 6. We can see it's fired up. And this Hello World app is basically just launching and then fading in and out this little button that says devices ready. And that's the main event you're going to listen for in your code when you start customizing your app is the device ready event. That tells you Cordova's initialized, things are ready to go, and you can start writing your JavaScript and letting it do its magic. On the left is the default Android emulator. And if we had 4 hours, it might start up. We will let it keep trying to do its thing, but you're going to have far more success and you're going to be far happier if you use the Jenny Motion Android emulators. They are free for personal use. They are a commercial product, so I think there's also a paid licensed version. I'm going to use the free for personal use version here and fire it up, Jenny Motion. Jenny Motion essentially uses VirtualBox, the VM software under the covers, to create virtual machines for hosting Android devices, and I've got a couple configured. I'm gonna launch this Google Nexus 6. I'll start that. It's gonna fire up the Jenny Motion version of my Android device, and we'll still let the default Android emulator try, but I promise you, I bet we'll finish this talk and it will still not have fully booted. Jenny Motion, on the other hand, boots very quickly. We will see here that as soon as it loads up, it'll drop us on the lock screen for Android. And once you have your Jenny Motion Android emulator open and running, The Cordova API will treat that as if it's a real Android device. So we're not talking about it being an emulator. Cordova thinks it's a real device because of the Adobe Device Bridge. It's the way that's working under the covers. So if we want our little test app to work here, we're actually going to have to run it on Android. So let me unlock my device. We'll go back to our little CLI window here. Booting up emulator. This may take a while. Yeah, it might. Let's go here. Cordova run. Run was the command you would use if you're trying to put it on a real device, so maybe a USB-connected iPhone or USB-connected Android or the Genymotion emulator. Cordova run Android should automatically build my project. That's one of the things the Cordova APIs do, is they will build your project every time you need to deploy it. And then once it's successfully built it, it will deploy it to my Genymotion emulator. And this is now using the latest and greatest, apparently, in Android builds, the Gradle build system. So it's not the fastest build in the world, but it'll build my package once and push it out to my device. Same thing would be done if you're targeting Windows Phone or Windows, just obviously for different APIs. It's done. It's detected my Android device. It's pushed it out. And now you can see we get the same exact app running on Android. Now, a critical thing here when you think about hybrid is if you're not going to build an app that goes to at least iOS and Android, you might as well use the native app building tools, Xcode or Android Studio. The benefit of a hybrid app and the benefit of all of this is the fact that you can write one code base in Git just like this to two different places. So if we wanted to demonstrate for ourselves how this is different or the benefit of this, we could go start to customize our app a little bit. So we go to the folder for this. Let's open up all of our code. Let's open the whole thing in Sublime. So we'll right-click, open in Sublime. Here's our folder of files that we've been looking at. www is our code, and here's our index file. So you can see right now what they've added for us from a code perspective. This is plain old HTML, plain old JavaScript, nothing fancy here that you've not seen before if you're a web developer, and this is the nuts and bolts of the application. There's no magic happening beyond this. As you can see, it's all working with standard DOM, so you can query for UI elements, you can add UI to the app, and it's all familiar. So we're gonna need a button in a minute for a reason I will explain soon. So let's go ahead and just add a standard HTML button to our application. We'll give it an ID, button action, because I'm creative. And we'll say, click me, because why not? So I've added a button, standard HTML, nothing fancy here. If we save this, and we go back to see how this looks in our devices, we can once again do the Cordova emulate, and we should get the refreshed version of this on at least our iOS simulator. I don't know if this will actually try to hit Genymotion or not. So here's our simulator, our repackaged app, and we can see there's our brand new HTML button. It says, click me, and we can do something with that in just a minute. Let's see if this also managed to hit Genymotion. No, the emulate command is gonna try to hit the Android emulator, so if we wanna get this on Genymotion, we have to do the run command, but for now, we can proceed. The system isn't responding. Okay. What do you know? We'll get rid of the old default Android emulator because it doesn't even want to keep playing. There we go. So that's our basics. We've got a foundation now on which we can begin customizing and building our application using whatever code it is we want. So what are the next steps now that we have our project started and our platforms added? What do we do from here? Well, we saw that to build our application, we do have to have all the build tools locally to make that happen. So for iOS, you need to have a Mac with OS X and Xcode, Android, Windows, we get that. If you don't have a Mac, and if you need to build for iOS, or vice versa, if you don't have a Windows machine, you need to build for Windows, there are build services which abstract away the need for you to manage all the SDKs that are otherwise your responsibility to install and keep up to date to do the hybrid app building. These build services, there are actually a lot of them now. PhoneGap Build is from Adobe. It's a very simple, just plain, dry build service for building PhoneGap apps. Telerik App Builder, which is part of Telerik Platform, gives you another way of building in the cloud, and it has a lot of advanced capabilities on top of just being a build service that streamline the hybrid app development process. In both cases here, you have the ability to build apps for iOS from a Windows PC, so it doesn't require you to have a Mac around to do it. The way that works is when you build your app and you send it to a build service, it uploads your HTML, your CSS, all of your project settings, all of your plugins. The build server does all the build steps, all that code we saw flying by in the command line, and then it sends back down to you the finished packaged apps for iOS, Android, or whatever your target platforms are. Once you have those app packages, it's on you to take those packages, deploy them to an iOS or to an Android device, and begin debugging and improving. So it's a round trip, it's a temporary thing, and then it brings back your app package for you to debug. We will maybe look at this in a minute. Telerik App Builder has a CLI, just like Cordova does, and it's actually what I would use more often than not if I was building an app, because it is going to give me a lot of extra help through the process of building hybrid apps. Cordova is the raw sort of root of all this, but it leaves a lot up to you to figure out as a developer. If we were to look at what the App Builder CLI gives us by comparison, again, still for building hybrid apps, we'll just type App Builder. We see there's a lot of additional commands compared to the default Cordova APIs that we can use to help us build, debug, deploy, and even refresh as we're building our app, something called Live Sync, so we can see our changes without rebuilding the app every time we make a change. So if you're getting serious about building hybrid apps and you're looking for a tool to speed up and streamline the process, App Builder is going to be a great option for you, and it's going to give you those cloud builds so that you don't have to have all those things on your machine to be successful. We will use this a little bit more in just a minute, but I wanted to make you aware of it for now. So now that we've got our app started, the next thing is to design our application. And when it comes time to design the UI for your app, you can use any JavaScript UI framework that you already know. Any. You can bring in jQuery. You can bring in jQuery UI if you want. There are a lot of UI frameworks created with HTML and JavaScript specifically designed to try to help you create a native mobile experience or a polished mobile app experience. There is, of course, Kendo UI and the Kendo UI mobile pieces of Kendo UI, which help you build an app. Ionic from Driftyco is a great option if you're looking to build an Angular app, an Angular-based mobile app, and there are a number of others out there that you can check out, including Angular Material from Google, if you're looking to go build a material design-styled app. Kendo UI has a great look and theme now for building mobile apps, something we call Nova. Gives you that flat app UI theme, but it really is up to you to decide what you'd like to put in your hybrid app. Do you want to create an app that looks the same everywhere the app runs, something that people do if they want to give their app a strong identity, so that no matter what device an user picks up, they recognize the app first and foremost? Or do you want to create an app that looks native to every platform where it runs, so the UI changes as the platforms change? You can accomplish and achieve both with UI frameworks for hybrid apps. Some frameworks will do more of that heavy lifting for you than others, but it's a decision you make as a developer when it comes time to build the UI for your application. For our app, and for the sake of time, because we don't have time to build a really complex app UI, we will just create a generic UI so you can get some sense of how some of this works. And App Builder does that for me, so I'm just going to let App Builder create a new hybrid project for me so we can just take a little peek at some of the UI that's available. So say App Builder create Vegas app. That's going to be confusing. Kendo mobile app. Just like the Cordova API, it's going to create the app for me. There is some extra processing being done here because it's actually going to ask me some questions about the kind of app I want to create. So again, this is a layer on top of Cordova, giving me some extra developer help so I can be more successful without needing to write as much code myself, which is always good for me. Avoid any code I can. At this point, it's downloading this is a one-time step, it's doing it because I just updated the tools, the app scaffolding package, which is going to give me the building blocks to build views and different kinds of app features from templates that we've already created. So we'll let that run and download the app scaffolding package, and we'll come back and take a look at the UI here that it lets us create in just a second. While it's doing that, I want to highlight that you may have seen in our code some mobile meta tags. Mobile meta tags are the key to making your web code behave like an app and not like a web page. Particularly this last meta tag, the meta tag name viewport and setting user scalable to no and initial scale to one. This eliminates the ability for an user to pinch and zoom your web content and makes an app lock in to the size of the window on the device. So this is how you avoid apps that feel like web pages, that they can pinch and zoom and scale about. This meta tag disables that across all mobile devices. These other meta tags were initially introduced by Apple, if you couldn't tell. Apple-mobile web app capable, Apple-mobile web app status bar, Apple-touch-icon, easy for me to say. But because Apple introduced them and because iOS was the first to become the popular mobile platforms, most of the other mobile platforms will recognize these meta tags and do something with them. So even though it looks like we've only got Apple meta tags here, Android, Windows Phone will recognize and do things with these same meta tags. The one extra meta tag we have here is the MS application-tap-highlight set to no. And this disables the link highlighting when someone taps on a link on a Windows Phone app. You can do the same thing in iOS using a CSS style rule, but it's another one of those steps you take to make it feel more like an app and less like a web page. And so these meta tags accomplish that. You can either put them in manually. Some UI frameworks like Kendo UI will automatically render these tags into your page for you, so you don't even have to think about them, but that's a decision you have to make. So in the background now, we've got our scaffolding package. I'm being asked some questions. How do you want to navigate between views in your app, a tab menu, a drawer, a list menu, no navigation? It's going to help me get some of this done. I'm going to say I want to have a tab menu. The initial view of my app is home, sure. How do you want to transition? What is the animation we want to have between our apps? I'll go ahead and take the slide animation. And what theme? Do I want that flat theme everywhere or a native theme? I'll just say flat. And it's going to then generate all of my project assets for me. So that's going to save me some time, put everything I need in my project structure, and then download some debugging tools for me so I can actually run my app and test it quickly. So we'll look at the code here once it's downloaded. But once it's downloaded, what we're going to do is want to debug the app, or even debug the app that we've already created. And the way you debug hybrid apps is actually using the browser debug tools. So using the Chrome debug tools for Android apps, using the Safari debugging tools for iOS apps. And you can even use various simulators like it's being downloaded right now in the background if you want to debug your app in an emulator. So while we wait for the other stuff to download, why don't we just push forward and see how we can debug the app we've already created with the Cordova API. So I've got my app here. It's running in the iOS simulator. If I want to begin inspecting this, looking at the console.log messages, doing all that stuff, I'm simply going to fire up Safari. And from Safari, you should have a develop menu. If you don't, you can turn it on in the options for Safari. But in the develop menu, because my simulator is open, it detects that I have a web view running in this Cordova app. This is not a web page, it's a Cordova app. This is my other app we've just built. We'll come back to that. It detects that it's running, and let's see, where's Safari? Get back on Safari. And I can open up the debug tools by simply clicking on the view that it recognizes. I'll get rid of this window. From here, I've got all of my standard tools, and if I put these two side by side, you can see as I inspect the HTML here, it highlights the UI just as it would if it were a web page in the simulator. So you've got all the familiar debugging power that you're used to for the web for debugging your hybrid applications. You can inspect the resources, you can inspect the caches. Literally, it's all here for you to work with. If you're working with Android, and we still have our app running in Jenny Motion, you can use the Chrome browser debug tools. So to do that, we will simply go over to Chrome. I will tell you about these tabs in a second. And from here, we can simply go to Chrome. It's a special Chrome URL, Chrome Inspect. Chrome Inspect will look for any Android devices that it can find, either connected via USB or emulators. And here it's found our web view running inside of our Jenny Motion emulator. And if I click the Inspect button below this, it's going to fire up the Chrome DevTools already connected to Jenny Motion. And as we can see, if I pull up the emulator here, once again. As I highlight and hover and inspect the UI for the application, it's going to be highlighted and show up in the emulator. So real-time inspection to debug our mobile apps. Pretty cool, pretty fun, pretty easy. If you're on Windows and you're building iOS apps and you're using the App Builder tools I've talked about, what App Builder actually ships is a simulator, which fired up while we were looking at this. Semantically, I know it's parsing words, but a simulator and an emulator are two different things. An emulator is actually running the operating system of the mobile device on your desktop. A simulator is simply simulating the mobile device environment. So it's not really running on the actual native mobile OS that you're targeting. What we see here from App Builder is a simulator that will actually let you kind of approximate what your app looks like even if you're on Windows. So if you're on Windows and you're targeting iOS, remember the builds are going to be happening in the cloud, so you don't have to worry about a Mac. It'll give you this simulator to let you approximate how your app looks and behaves when you're building even on Windows. So that's what we see here. We've got a little app. It's got some extra UI with a tab button. And we can start working with this and doing all kinds of fun things to customize it. At the end of the day, the code that's created there is still just plain old HTML. So I won't belabor the point of going through it all, but just to make sure that you believe what I'm telling you, this is all just CSS, HTML. It's putting our views in various folders. So here's our home view, the model view, or the MVVM setup here. We've got our code, our view, and our logic all there. So you've got all the stuff in here you can come work with, customize. And you can see in the case of App Builder, we're putting in the root directory cordova.ios.js, cordova.android.js. That is the bridge between your JavaScript and the native capabilities of the device. The Cordova.js file is what gives you that magic. I think we just skipped over that file in our other project. I think it has added it for us, or maybe it's not something we need right now. Oh, there we go, Cordova.js. So our default Cordova project also added that file for us. So far, everything we've done could be done in a browser. In fact, one of the deploy targets for a Cordova app is the browser. We could go here to our API or our CLI using Cordova. We could say Cordova for our app we were building. What was that? Vegas, I think. We could say Cordova serve. And when we say Cordova serve instead of Cordova run, it's actually going to serve up the assets from our project in a browser, emphasizing once again that this is truly just web code being wrapped up in a native shell. So if I navigate to this local web server that it's created in a browser, what I'll find is Cordova has created a little page telling me which platforms are currently configured, which plugins have been installed. And if I click on, for instance, the iOS platform here, it's going to open and launch my code right here in the browser. So at this point, this is fine because we've done nothing native yet, really, with our application. To make a hybrid app worth the trouble and not staying in a browser, we probably should do something native. So how do we do that? The path to adding native capabilities in a Cordova app is plugins. Plugins create the bridge between native code and your JavaScript, opening up feature at a time things that you may want to do. It lives inside of that native shell, and it is shell specific. So a plugin made for Cordova only works with the Cordova hybrid app container. It exposes its own API in a well-made plugin, in theory, should give you a single API you can call that under the covers will call all the device-specific APIs necessary to make a feature work. So in other words, if on Android you have to call some Java API to access the camera, and on iOS there's some other API, the plugin should give you a single abstracted JavaScript API that you can call once to activate that feature on all target devices. That's the idea of a shared code base or a single code base for these different platforms. Define plugins for your apps. There are a number of places. There's a big repository of plugins on GitHub that's being more frequently updated now. But Telerik also supports a directory of plugins that you can use in any project. If you're using the Cordova CLI, the App Builder CLI, it doesn't matter. We're just trying to help bring together high-quality plugins for hybrid app development. And you can find those at plugins.telerik.com Telerik.com. So why don't we add a plugin to our project? I'll go over here to the marketplace. Plugins.telerik.com. If you land there today, you'll see that there's a note that plugins for NativeScript are coming soon, so it'll be a similar spot. We're interested in Cordova plugins. And if I come in here, you can see there are all kinds of plugins. I think there are about 60 plus plugins now. You can see which platforms they support via the icons, how often they've been downloaded. And what really makes this a great resource is that for every plugin, there is a complete documentation about what the plugin does, what options you have, code snippet to implement it, as well as screenshots showing you what the plugin should look like on the various native platforms when it runs. Because remember, a plugin is exposing native capabilities to your device. This action sheet plugin is a good one for us to use because we can check it out pretty easily on our simulator or our emulator. This is going to actually trigger the native action sheet UI on our devices, not using HTML. So if we want that native action sheet, we can call that easily with a Cordova plugin. And you can see here that I have instructions. If I want to install this using the Cordova CLI or the App Builder CLI, it's going to give me the snippets for everything. So I'm going to go ahead and just click Cordova CLI. Here's the code I need to run. So I'm just going to copy this code snippet. We'll take this with us back to our command line. And we can shut down our local web server. Oh, I need to paste this. I have not pasted it yet. So we'll paste this in. It's going to download the plugin from GitHub. It'll put the necessary resources in the necessary plugin directories. And you can see it's done it for Android and iOS, the two platforms we're currently supporting. So now that we have that code or the plugin, we need to actually use it. We need to write JavaScript that talks to the API the plugin has exposed to our app. So I will be a copy-paste programmer here. I'm not beyond that, and we'll copy the snippet that it's created for us and just let that be our implementation for now. And I don't need that extra bracket. So back in our code, we had this button we created. Why don't we use this button to trigger our action sheet? So we'll come to our JavaScript. We need to write a little extra JavaScript to make this happen. As I mentioned, the on-device ready event is the one that really tells us our app is ready to go. So we'll use this to start our programming. We'll say var button equals document dot query selector. We'll grab our button first, and I believe it has the ID button action. I think that's what we called it. And now we just need to handle the click event for this button. So we'll say button dot add event listener, because we don't have jQuery here yet. We could, but we're not using jQuery. So let's just do it raw. Add event listener click, and when click happens, we'll do app dot show action sheet. So now we just need something called show action sheet. And that's just going to be a simple function in which we will copy or we'll paste our lifted snippet from the plugin marketplace. Clean this up a little bit. You can see that it's got a bunch of options already configured. This is basically configuring for all the different platforms what the buttons should be in that action sheet. We'll just leave it as is for the moment. And then the magic, the thing that triggers it all, happens right here. Window.plugins, that's the plugin namespace Cordova creates where all of our plugin APIs live. Action sheet, which we just installed, and it has a show method where our options get passed in, and it expects a callback. And that callback will give us the result of whatever button was pushed in the action sheet. So rather than creating anything fancy, let's just put a simple function here that will console log whatever was pushed. So we need a return value, and we'll say action sheet done, and we'll pass that our return value. Okay, let's see if we've managed to add a native capability to our hybrid application. We'll come back over here, we will do our Cordova emulate, and we'll just target iOS since we don't want to fire up the awful Android emulator again. Cordova emulate iOS, it's going to rebuild it. It's going to now build it with our plugin. So our plugin is being built into the app as well. And here we can see it's refreshed. And if we do click me, there we go. Our native action sheet, a native UI piece of iOS pops up and we can click a button or cancel and it goes away. And if we bring up our debugging tools for this, so if we came back over here to Safari and fired up the debugging tools and opened the console, when we open that action sheet and we click a button, we'll see our console log messages show up over here. So we can see when we click this, we get the index of whatever button was pushed in the action sheet. So console log messages show up as they should, native features work as they should, but of course, hybrid apps are all about multi-platform. One platform is not impressive, so let's see what this looks like on Genymotion by saying Cordova run Android and see if we get the same native capability working the way it should on Android. While that builds, because I know time is short with our session, questions so far about what you're seeing or about plugins in particular in hybrid apps? Does it all make perfect sense? Okay, perfect sense. That's good because my build is done, which means we should be able to go to Genymotion. Our app, in theory, should be ready to go. And if we click the button here, we get the Android default, or the Android native action sheet from the OS fires up. And just like with Safari and iOS, we could debug the buttons that we click here. Pretty cool. Pretty quick and easy to access a native device capability via JavaScript in our app. And as you could see in the marketplace, there are tons of plugins out there that can let you do all kinds of neat things. We took Action Sheet off the top, but there's Flashlight. There's integration with other companies who have services you can integrate into your apps, app availability, even Apple Watch. If you want to start building Apple Watch apps using a hybrid app, you can do that too. So check it out. When it's time to deploy your app, your options are the same as native apps. You can sideload an app onto your device during development, though I will tell you, if you're gonna do that for iOS, you're gonna need to spend about an hour or two banging your head on a wall getting your provisioning profile and signing certificates all from Apple and into your development environment, because any app, even during development, that goes on an iOS device must be signed. So you're going to have to get your developer certificate from Apple. You're going to have to pay them their dues, sign the app, then you can deploy it to your registered iOS devices. Android is far less restrictive, so you can deploy your app to any Android device directly from your machine as long as you've turned on developer settings on the device. But iOS is trickier. As you saw, you can deploy to the simulator with iOS without signing an app, but that's the extent of what Apple will let you do without those certificates. In production, once it's time to deploy your app, because it's just like a native app, you can either push it out to a public app store, and once again, you will have to deal with the same kind of app store review process as a native app, and your app will expect it, they will expect it to run well and not have bugs. That's universally true, at least for iOS. You can push it out via private app store, so if you're in an internal environment and you want to deploy your app to a limited group of users, private app stores help you do that, and there are a number of them out there. Cleric Platform even has a private app store built in, or you can share your app via a direct URL. On Android, users can install an APK directly from a URL just fine. On iOS, the app needs to be signed with an enterprise signing certificate, and if it is signed with an enterprise signing certificate, then you can deploy directly via URL to iOS users. The neat thing about, we'll talk about deployment checklist in a second. The neat thing about hybrid apps is that you can also very easily update a hybrid app directly via in-app updates without going through the App Store. So you can push patches or updates to your HTML, your JavaScript, your CSS directly to the app in production. You have to use a service to do that. You can, I think Microsoft just launched one. I forget what it's called, but they just introduced something like this. There are a number of services that can do this. Again, Telerik Platform and App Builder can do this as well. But this gives you a fast way of deploying updates to users in production. It gets past that big problem we have with mobile apps today, which is how do you update an app quickly? How do you get updates out in real time like we used to do for the web to our mobile users? And with hybrid apps, that's pretty easy to do. The only thing you cannot push out to a mobile hybrid app this way are things that would require you to rebuild the native code. So new plugins, changes to your application's icons or splash screens, things of that nature would require a rebuild and a resubmission to the App Store, but other content updates can go out directly. Now, of course, you have to be careful here. You don't violate rules of the App Stores. You can't change the intent or the purpose of your app, or you will get blacklisted and yanked out of the App Store, but you can technically do this, and there are a number of services to help you do it. Finally, as you get prepared to deploy your app, you should have something of a deployment checklist. There are things that you need to do before your app can be pushed out to production. Once you're done working in your local development environment, you need to give your app a unique identifier. Lots of tools would put a stub identifier in there for you. In fact, I think in our little project we've got here. Cordova has put a stub identifier in for us, or it's just reminded us that we need to put an app ID in here perhaps. But you will need a unique app identifier. You will need to get your signing certificates. There are separate signing certificates for development and for deployment. So even if you've got your development signing certificate already, make sure you get your deployment signing certificate for iOS. Make sure you're only asking for the app permissions you need. There's a long list of things that you can ask users for, and we all know as users when we get those pop-ups, such and such app would like access to this, access to that. You don't want to prompt your users any more than necessary for the permissions you need for your app to run. And lastly here, I'll skip icons and screenshots. That's an obvious. Get ready to make lots and lots of variants of your icons and screenshots. But make sure you add some form of analytics or log crash detection to your mobile app. Mobile apps live on devices that go everywhere. They're not always connected to the internet. And if you don't have analytics and crash monitoring, you have no idea how your app is being used in the real world. There are no server logs there for you to go inspect to see how often your app is crashing, what features are being used the most. So you want to make sure, even as you get up to a beta in your app, that you've got some kind of analytics or crash monitoring built in. Apache Cordova is the website for the open source project we were working with today. Great place to come out and find resources about Cordova, along with more getting started guidance and a long list of tools that can help accelerate your mobile development. Things I've mentioned today, including Telerik Platform is out here and some others that we didn't talk about. So great place to come find tools to help you build hybrid apps, as well as a showcase of some pretty neat apps that have been built using Apache Cordova beyond the ones we even looked at. And you'll be, I think, pretty impressed with some of the things people are doing using strictly hybrid technology. PhoneGap has another gallery of apps that have been created using Cordova or PhoneGap. The site's getting a little bit older, so Cordova is probably a good enough reference for you. I mentioned the plugins marketplace, and of course, Telerik Platform to help you build your apps. So we've got 30 seconds left, core concepts. There are three ways to build mobile apps, web, hybrid, and native, and the kind of now in between native hybrid apps. Hybrid apps run in native shell, but your code all runs in a web view, so the only thing you're building and modifying is HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and once you've built your app and you've got all the plugins you need to access whatever native features you want, you deploy it just like a native app via app stores or installing it on devices. Apache Cordova is the most popular hybrid container, and Telerik App Builder, which I've mentioned, we didn't get to use much today, it really is gummy berry juice for Cordova app dev. It takes all the core concepts we looked at today, simplifies them, and gives you more power on top of it. So with that, in our short session, thank you very much for attending. If you have questions, you can find me there, and if you want to build mobile apps, go there. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks.